This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, continuing with the stories of the prophets in the Quran, we are going to be talking today about the lessons that we can extract from the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam. The Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam is of course the great Prophet of Allah, who is mentioned multiple places throughout the Quran, and about whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, amongst others, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem, that there is this lineage and chain of succession between prophets, where you have Yusuf alayhi salam, who is the son of Ya'qub alayhi salam, who is the son of Ishaq alayhi salam, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ya'qub alayhi salam belongs to this beautiful chain of succession and lineage of prophethood. Similarly, something very interesting, we know and we hear this reference in the Quran repeatedly, Ya Bani Israel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Israelites, Banu Israel. And that reference of Banu Israel, the children of Israel, that goes back to the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. Because he had another name, that second name of his was Israel. Okay, which basically translates in that their language, Aramaic or ancient language, as the servant of God. And so the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam is who we're talking about here today. And the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam has a phrase that is very well known. It's iconic. It's something that people are very familiar with. And oftentimes, when we say the name Ya'qub, that phrase probably immediately pops into one's mind. And it's found in the hadith of Bukhari as well, when our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was slandered, at that time, it's called Hadithul Ifk or Waqi'atul Ifk, the slander of our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, that she invokes that phrase at that time as well. That I will say, أَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ Abu Yusuf, in one narration she says that I will say, as the father of Yusuf alayhi salam said, and then she comments later on, she says, I couldn't even think of the name Ya'qub because I was so frustrated with the situation that I was being falsely accused and slandered. And then she quotes that iconic phrase, and that phrase occurs twice in the surah that we just started into, Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Quran, and that phrase is, فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Now, if we translate that very plainly, simply, it would translate as beautiful patience. And the fa there is for conclusion, so he's basically saying, in that case, as a response to what is going on, I resort to beautiful patience. However, the lesson I would like for us to learn here from the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam, interestingly, I would not title it as patience. And I'll explain exactly why. Patience, the word sabr, the word patience in English does identify a part of what is sabr. It identifies what the outcome of sabr looks like, patience. But it does not even begin to capture the full scope of the word sabr. Sabr has so much meaning packed into it. And there's a narration as well in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an qawlihi fa sabrun jamil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the statement of Ya'qub in the Quran fa sabrun jamilun, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said sabrun la shikwa fihi. It is sabr in which there is no crying or complaining to anyone else. And I wanted to explain just one very interesting aspect of patience. There's another great prophet of Allah in the Quran that we are going to be talking about, inshallah, on another day, who is also identified with that lesson of patience. And that is, of course, the prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, Job, right? So the question kind of occurs, it can be the same exact trait and quality, why not? All the prophets possessed all these admirable qualities, but the Quran is so nuanced and it's so deep and so profound that it's not just simply Allah is repeating the same lesson over again, but there's a very interesting layering to this issue of sabr. And that is, there are many categorizations of sabr, but one particular categorization of sabr is that there is sabr in the face of the decree of Allah. There is sabr as a response to the decree of God. Think of something that we would describe as an act of God, a natural event, something that does not involve another person. Somebody is afflicted with a disease. A loved one passes away. A natural disaster occurs and destroys home and property. Things of that nature. There is sabr in that scenario, where it's an act of God. Then there is sabr in response to, in the face of difficulty, tragedy, adversity that is caused by other people. Someone wrongs you, sabr. Someone cheats you, lies to you, accuses you, slanders you, physically harms you. Then the sabr of that. Does everyone understand? So there is sabr with the decree of Allah, what Allah has decreed, what Allah has decided, and then there is sabr when dealing with people. And that is the beautiful nuance here in the book of Allah, in the Quran. That the story of Ayyub alayhi salam is the lesson of sabr with the decree of Allah. And like I said, we'll talk about that separately and specifically because it deserves attention and focus. And the story of the Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam is sabr in the scenario when you have been wronged by other people. And that is the lesson we're going to talk about here today. So for the sake of this, again, this exercise of learning these lessons from the stories of the prophets in the Quran, what I will call this particular lesson is learning self-restraint, or we can also call it self-control. This kind of sabr in response, in reaction to other people, this is more in the realm of self-control. Can I control myself in that moment? Or will I lash out? There's an immediate follow-up question someone has here, and that is, well, if someone wrongs me, don't I have the right to exact the same thing upon them? Absolutely. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرُ لِصَابِرِ فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, in the Quran does tell us that if you are going to exact on someone what they have done to you, then you better make sure that it is exactly what they did to you. Not even a bit more. And then Allah says it's better if you're patient. Because who wants to be accountable for doing that kind of precise math and making sure that you do not cross a line? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because I've warned you, I've told you the rules, Allah says, if you do cross the line in saying like, well, I get mine, an eye for an eye, if you cross the line in doing that, فَلَهُ عَذَابُ عَظِيمٌ, you will face a very severe punishment by Allah. So that's where the lesson of Yaqub alayhi salam is so remarkable, so profound, so needed, so beneficial. Self-control. So the Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, where is he saying these phrases of fasabrun jamilun? Where he's being wronged by other people. And of all people, by his own sons. He's being wronged by his own children. His own sons. First, when his sons are jealous of the younger brother Yusuf, and they dispose of him, and then they come back to the father. Wajau ala qamisihi bidamin kadhibin. They come, and upon the shirt of their brother is false blood. And the narration describes that they slaughtered or killed some other animal, and they stained it with the blood of the animal, and they came and they presented it to the father. It's a prophet of God. Prophets of God are the most intelligent human beings that ever walked the face of the earth. You don't think he can tell that this is a blatant lie? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu even comments on this, saying that the shirt wasn't torn, and now they're claiming that all this blood and gore is here because it got eaten and devoured and torn to shreds by a wild beast, dhi'ib, by a wolf, and then they bring a perfectly like iron shirt with just like blood splattered on it. And Yaqub alayhi salam says, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. You fooled yourselves into thinking that this would make sense. And you come and you lied to me, your father, a prophet of God. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. And he reminds himself, have self-control. Sabr. Practice, control yourself in this moment. Don't lash out. Don't do something that you'll regret afterwards. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. And then later on, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, again in Surah Yusuf, and once again, the sons go to go get food during a drought, a famine, and they don't realize, they go to who they think is the treasure of Egypt, ancient Egypt, and it's their brother Yusuf alayhi salam, who they threw in a well and disposed of, but they don't realize that. And they have, and he had said, if you want rations for everyone, you got to bring everyone. So they brought their little brother, Benjamin. They brought Binyamin. And Yusuf alayhi salam, recognizing this, he arranged for Binyamin to have to stay there with him. And they go back to the father. And now they're reporting back to their father, the second time in his life where they are reporting back. And they are saying, we lost your son. And again, he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. Allah will bring my children back to me. So again, control. These are my own children at the end of the day. What am I going to achieve by lashing out? Self-control. But obviously, there's another question here. I'm human. I need an outlet. And so the outlet is informed to us in the Quran as well. 9 number 86. Allah says, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said that I present my grief, my sorrow before Allah and only Allah. That's the outlet. We are human. We need somewhere to pour our hearts out to. And that is only and solely before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek comfort in Allah. And we seek solace with Allah. And we seek strength from Allah. And there is no greater tragedy than the loss of a child. It's such a profound tragedy. And Yaqub alayhi salam is that powerful example in the Quran, that being able to hold yourself together in the face of the greatest tragedy that any human being can ever face, and that is the loss of a child. And that's why, as Allah presents these examples in the Quran, because it is such a profound tragedy, that someone who's lost a child, they find inspiration and comfort and strength through Yaqub alayhi salam. The unfathomable, if somebody's lost more than one child, they find comfort and strength in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who lost six of his children in his lifetime. Six of his seven children. And it's a bit of a side note, but it's important to note. That's what's been so painful about the last so many months, that watching people losing their children in Gaza. Ajeeb. And we've all seen the video footage of where someone's holding the lifeless body of their child. And they invoke the spirit of Yaqub alayhi salam. And you hear them say the words, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Allahu Akbar. That is the Qur'an being lived. So this is the story and the lesson from the life of Yaqub alayhi salam, that to learn self-control, that I can control myself, I can hold myself, and allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and mercy to come and rescue me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us self-control. And may we continue to draw inspiration from the Book of Allah and the Prophets of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory and His aid and His help to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.